Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Yes, sir. Once again, people, this is Speak It Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All. And today I'm joined by one of the new real, I guess you could say, minds in basketball as far as the web is concerned, man. There's a lot of different sites to go to, and I feel like I found a good one here. And today I'll be speaking with Jeff, who is a writer and co-founder of TheRookieWall.com. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you for the kind words to start with. We appreciate that. We're just trying to do our thing over here.
Hey, man, y'all really doing y'all thing, man, because I go to a lot of different sites, man, and I found this one the other day, and, you know, I was really amazed by it, man. You got nice content. Everything looks good. And like your countdown says, we got 29 days, 18 hours, and 9 minutes until the draft, man. It's going down pretty soon.
It is, it is. And after the lottery, we got a little bit clearer picture and then individual workouts picking up. So, yeah, it's a good time to be covering the draft and the NBA in general.
Yes, sir. And before we get into the prospects and everything, I kind of wanted you to talk about like why you started the site and how you guys went about it.
Sure. A friend and I, Mitch, who's the other co-founder of the site, just friends who really enjoy basketball and especially enjoy the draft and kind of feel that the rookie season and all the new players coming in don't get quite as much coverage. The NBA is definitely a superstar-driven league. You see that with Kobe, Dwight Howard, LeBron, obviously, and all the coverage he's getting, even now that his team's out of the playoffs.
Right.
And then we saw some sites covering the draft pretty well. I'm sure everybody goes to those. You have Draft Express, NBADraft.net, who really just focus on everything leading up to the draft. But the coverage of the rookies really isn't there. And I think this will be our first draft we've covered. And after this, we hope to really continue covering the rookies and how they progress next year. So there'll be a lot of John Wall coverage, a lot of Evan Turner coverage, and some of the lesser-known guys. The website's really focused on all the players in the draft, not just the top players. We have interviews up with various guys, second-rounders. We have some interviews out to some lottery picks that are coming back slowly but surely that'll be up soon. And it's really just to cover the draft from our angle and what we think, and also to give the rookies some press during their rookie season. And ultimately, we're hoping to get some more exclusive content for the site, and we're working on that every day. So that's kind of the thought process.
Okay. That's a beautiful thing, man, because the NFL draft is covered so well. I think the NBA definitely needs its own share of real in-depth coverage. Because you go into last year, and, you know, the talk was, you know, this was a Blake Griffin draft, everything else, you know, it was just really not that deep a draft and all this other stuff. And then the season starts, and we find out this is one of the better drafts we've seen in years.
Yeah, the draft was deeper than a lot of people thought. At the top, obviously, you had Blake, who it'll be exciting to see what he can do. This year, that injury was really unfortunate for the league in general, because a superstar in L.A. On the Clippers is huge, and Blake definitely has the skills to do a lot of things. And then you had Thabeet not really pan out, but then you have James Harden, who's playing decent minutes on a young team, and he's going to be a centerpiece for them along with Kevin Durant. And you have Tyreke Evans, who, I mean, that guy is unbelievable. You have Brandon Jennings, who came out of nowhere, and Rubio played well in Europe this year, and he'll come over eventually with someone. So, yeah, I mean, it was an interesting draft. It was a lot of young players who haven't shown what they can do yet. Jrue Holiday is going to get his chance, I think, for the Sixers this year. And Darren Collison made his mark. Marcus Thornton in the second round. I mean, there were a lot of good stories this year. So, yeah, a lot of people – it was probably better than advertised. So, definitely, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Well, hopefully we'll have those same – like you said, we'll have the same type of stories. And let's kind of get into the talent in this draft. I sent
sure.
you a little idea of what I think are the top 10 guys. You know,
yeah.
I've looked at the site and seen what you guys have listed. Now, I know you're going to probably bang on me for having the boy Gordon Haywood in the top 10, the young boy from Butler. But I just got a feeling. I can't see Larry Bird passing on him at 10, man. I just got to be honest on that, man. I don't see it happening.
I mean, we'll see what they do. I mean, Indiana needs a lot of help. you've got Danny Granger, who plays a little bit of the three and I guess could slide over to the two if they need him to. I just think if you're Indiana, you have to take the best guy there, and I'm not sure Gordon Hayward is that. But, yeah, I mean, it's not impossible. That's the biggest thing with this draft. After probably the top four, after you go through Wall, Turner, Favors, and Cousins, it's really pick the guy you think is going to be the best. A lot of people think that's maybe Wes Johnson is in that top group. And then from there, it's a lot of indecision, man. I mean, you've got Al-Farouq Aminu, had a great year at Wake Forest. He was probably ready last year, stayed another year, and I think helped his stock. And then from there, it's a lot of big men, and Gordon Hayward's probably the next best wing. He'll probably play a lot of three. I just wasn't as blown away with him and finding a spot for him. He's not a great athlete, and he's going to have to guard threes and maybe even some twos in the league, and I just don't know if he can do that. But if he works out well for Indiana, it would not be surprising to see him in the lottery. He's just not in ours right now.
Yeah, and I wouldn't try to make an argument on that. I got to say there's a lot of sentiment with me with him, seeing him early on. I was one of the first guys really hyping him a lot. So
okay.
I'm kind of taking this probably the ego thing of me pushing the guy. You know what I mean?
Looking like a genius. Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, he can definitely play. There's no doubt there. And he's, like I said, not surprising if he goes in the lottery at the same time. Not surprising to see him in the bottom of the first round. We haven't projected anywhere from just outside the lottery to 25 and him jumping up a few spots. Stranger things have definitely happened. So.
Yeah, true. And as far as the workouts, which are really going to be coming up big within the next couple of weeks,
yep.
Since this the NBA is becoming such a point guard league, do you really see the workouts as something to where Avery Bradley and Eric Bledsoe could kind of make their mark and really convince somebody to take a chance on them high?
I mean, Eric Bledsoe, definitely. I mean, Eric Bledsoe, a lot of people – it's weird seeing people write about him and – talking about him like he's an undersized shooting guard, which just isn't right. I mean, he's a point guard who played out of position because of John Wall.
Right.
And he can score, and he's fast. The athletic testing will be interesting to see what he did at the combine, and the teams will run him through their battery of workouts. So it'll just be interesting. I think he is a game-changing player and definitely somebody who – I mean, on our big board, I think he's somewhere in the teens. He's at 17, but we think he could – I mean, he's one of those guys who could definitely be in the lottery, even in the top 10, just depending on how he works out and what teams need. And he definitely could. Avery Bradley, I think, is a little bit more of that undersized shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him being able to play point guard as much as Eric Bledsoe. He definitely – he can handle the ball a little bit, but – I think he had a really tough year at Texas and was really streaky, but it only takes one team to see something there. So he's the same thing. I mean, he could definitely shoot up, and it wouldn't surprise us at all.
Yeah, he's a guy who I would say made a big mistake as far as college choice. I don't want to bang on you know, the coach right now, but I've done
right.
it in the past. So I feel like he made a mistake, and I see what you're saying about his game as far as being a point, because he definitely – I don't know. His handle definitely doesn't seem like one to where he can initiate the offense. It's more of a handle to get by somebody.
Right.
But defensively, that dude, man, he is a monster on the ball as far as a defender.
Yeah, no, he can. I mean, he's a pretty long guard. And, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think him, Bledsoe, and Wall, and that hasn't been talked about that much. All three can be lockdown guys. I absolutely agree with that, and it's so thin at guard and at the wing this year that seeing any of those guys move up isn't – I mean, Wall, I think, is a lock to go one. I think people just say Turner for the sake of saying something different. So, I mean, Wall is going to go one, and then after that, I think it's wide open for Bledsoe and also for Bradley to move up and make their mark in the workouts. I'm sure they'll see each other a lot. They'll probably see Willie Warren. So, I mean, yeah, the guards are going to have it out. You've got Elliot Williams, who's kind of the same thing, combo guard, really long.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
And one of the more interesting things you guys had on your site, therookiewall.com, for those who just catching this in the middle, was the kid Latavius Williams,
yes.
A high school kid, went to the D-League.
He did.
I mean, this story, I mean, it was out there as far as if you're a guy who went to a lot of basketball sites, but this story's kind of flying under the radar, man. And with Brandon Jennings, I'm shocked that this is not a bigger story.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know why it is. I mean, Latavius was, highly touted recruit who just either didn't think college was for him, his grades might not have been there, might not have qualified, but, I mean, whatever the reason is, I mean, the kid was one of the top high school players in the country, went to the D League, held his own in a professional league. And, yeah, for all the hype, I mean, Brandon Jennings was on HBO's Real Sports. He was covered by every site. And Latavius hasn't really gotten that kind of publicity, which is kind of confusing for us. We think that he'll go somewhere in the second round. And if he has to stay in the D League another year, I mean, obviously he'd be fine with that. He's familiar with it. And the team that gets him is really going to get a chance to sculpt a player, which is a rarity. I mean, you had a kid who didn't go overseas for more money. He went to the D League and really just tried to get better. So we're hopeful that he can make his mark on the league. And then that also gives high school kids considering college maybe more and more go to the D League. And at the same time, maybe that's the reason the story's not being covered, because people want to see kids go to college. So it's hard to say why it's not getting as much play as a guy like Jennings did.
Yeah, because that's something that could actually legitimize the D-League in a lot of the youngsters' eyes, because there's an AAU center up here in Atlanta where I'm at.
Okay.
I go up there a lot to, you know, check out the young talent and everything. And, you know, pretty much he's an unknown guy, even within those ranks, which is, you know, kind of surprising. These young boys, man, they're usually on it, man, as far as who can get what or go where. So kind of shocking that they weren't up on the guy.
Yeah.
Can you kind of talk about the importance of what agents players sign with, of how that might play a factor in this draft coming up? Because you guys got a lot of information about Bledsoe signing with Leon Rose and John Wall going with Dan Feagan.
Yeah, well, I mean, we definitely weighed in on it. The importance of an agent is it's really just a trust issue for the player who they're comfortable with. You have the big agencies. You have your CAA with Leon. You have Wasserman with Arne Tellem. There's other agents at both of those companies, obviously. And their big push is that they can get you things off the court, that their power is kind of a media powerhouse, helps you get endorsement deals and whatever else, which I think there's some validity to that. But I think a player being comfortable with his agent is really the most important thing. I don't think if John Wall would have signed with Leon instead of Dan that he would have gone to he would have fallen in the draft or anything like that. So it's really
right,
just more
right. We're not looking at an NFL situation. Yeah, right. We're not looking at an NFL situation where or MLB situation.
Yeah.
Where we got somebody holding a franchise hostage or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a rookie scale. You're going to go where you're going to go. And, I mean, I think all the guys, for the most part, do a good job. You saw DeMarcus Cousins sign with a relative unknown. I don't think it's hurt his stock too much. And the interviews out of Chicago said that he just put all his trust in that agent. He's with him 100%. And that's really what you need, is you just need that relationship to be right and to be one of trust, one that's mutually beneficial for both people. And it seems like all the guys in the draft made good decisions, nothing too shocking. We wrote the story on Wall just because of everybody assumed he would be going with CAA and with Leon Rose, and it didn't happen, and most of the basketball sites weighed in on it, so we decided to give our take.
Okay. And do you see the free agent whole deal this summer having a big effect on the draft as far as a team like New Jersey?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think if – I don't know. A lot of people say if New Jersey would have got the one pick and you can put John Wall, and then that puts them in the front of the LeBron James thing. And yeah, I mean, teams are going to look at what they need and what they think they can add in free agency. I think you'll see some of those. Last year, one of the trades that doesn't get talked about a lot anymore involved Golden State sending the 7 pick to Phoenix for Amari Stoudemire, and there were other pieces in there. But then when Steph Curry was on the board, that kind of fell apart. And I think you'll see more of that kind of sign and trades with the free agents, where the team giving up their player gets a draft pick they like in return, which there's so many scenarios that can play out. It's hard to really even think about it all, but obviously Dirk opting out changes the landscape a little bit, and a lot of good guys available this year, and then Carmelo next year, and there's some more. So, yeah, I mean, teams are going to look at their whole picture before they decide what they're doing in the draft.
Yeah, the boy from the four-letter network, Simmons, is really adamant about next year being the year of Melo, and if Jersey doesn't pick up anybody this year, the new billionaire owner is going to make his big move as far as at Melo.
There would be worse things. I mean, Carmelo is probably one of the top five players in the league. So, I mean, the guy can score, he can rebound. And, yeah, I mean, I'm a Carmelo supporter. I saw him in the summer league his rookie year. And, I mean, he can definitely play. Next year is definitely not being talked about right now. But once you see – I mean, there's only so many max contract guys out there. Somebody is going to pay Rudy Gay and somebody is going to pay Joe Johnson. And maybe the smart team holds back and they wait for Carmelo, and we'll see how that shakes out. But I think the teams like the Knicks, who really thought they were going to be able to land two, might be surprised at what ends up happening. But it's hard to really say.
Yeah, I can't see the Knicks landing two either. But like I said, I'm down in ATL, man. And if Joe Johnson's able to pull off a max contract, I will be shocked and astonished, just like most of Atlanta down here, man. If you hear Atlanta radio right now, it is bad for Joe, man. I mean, there are people calling in saying, well, let him walk. He doesn't want that 5 for $60. Let him go. Who cares? I mean, it's gotten to that point.
Wow. I mean, I know he had a bad playoffs, but before that, I mean, Joe can play. There's no doubt about that. Max money is hard to think about. I'm up in Philadelphia, so we've got Iguodala and Brand tied up, and nobody's happy.
Hey, you go to those two contracts and Michael Redd, it'll tell you everything you need to know about overpaying for a guy.
I understand, and I understand why people feel that way about Joe. But, I mean, he can play. He can be a great piece for somebody, and I think what Atlanta's building down there is really strong, and they did it through the draft. I mean, Al Horford, Josh Smith. I haven't heard a whole lot about Jeff Teague taking minutes yet, but I was really impressed with him last year, watching him through the workout process. And go ahead.
I was going to say I was as well, but the thing was about Teague was he played for Mike Woodson, and he's from the Larry Brown school of doesn't like rookie point guards, so he kind of buried Teague on the bench all year. And the owner at the end of the season ended up coming out and saying that Teague should have been playing, and they weren't happy about it, and that was right before they basically didn't offer Woody another contract.
Yeah, and I mean, that's interesting. The whole rookies getting playing time thing and a player going to the right team so they can play is probably one of the biggest roles agents play, is figuring out, do we really want our guy to go here, or is it better if he goes three picks later and he's going to get minutes? Does the system fit him? And I guess that goes back a little bit to the what role does an agent play. I think that's a big one. But, yeah, I mean, Jeff, I mean, they've got – I think Atlanta has some pieces. I don't know what they do if they don't re-sign Joe Johnson. I don't know what kind of moves they try to make. But I think if you can keep him, you do. I know that Atlanta's got a passionate fan base, and their reasons are justified. I just think Joe's a pretty good player. Maybe not for max money, but just under the 5 years for 60 sounds good for everybody. So I can see why people would say if he's not going to take it, let him go.
Yeah, so that's a rough situation down here. I guess we'll see how it plays out. Before we get out of here, man, I wanted to talk to you about the playoffs as they're going now.
Sure.
You know, your opinions on what's going on and what you see happening within the next week.
Yeah, I think I'm as surprised as anybody about Boston. I mean, they've been really good. I mean, they kind of laid an egg last night, and it still went to overtime. So, I mean, that's good. I don't know. I really think it's going to be tough to beat L.A. I know that Phoenix is going to give it their all. I just don't see them coming out of the West. I think L.A. probably plays Boston. And I think L.A. probably takes it, unless Boston can keep doing what they're doing. If they play defense like this, they could win any given night. And if they can put the shackles on Kobe and the bigs, then they definitely have a chance. But I just think L.A. is too good. It's been funny, the bipolar reactions to Dwight Howard and how he plays in big games and whether he's a superstar or not. It's just been funny to hear. I mean, the guy's one of the most, he's just a freak, and people give him a hard time. Then he has a game like he had yesterday, and everybody thinks he's great again. He's a great player. He's got a few parts of his game he needs to work on. He's still young, and he'll pull it around. So we'll look forward to the rest of the playoffs, but we're excited to really start covering the draft. Got a few interviews coming up with some big names that will hopefully be up soon. We just posted a new one with Marcus Gilstrap out of Iowa State today. That's on therookiewall.com. That just went up. And, yeah, we're just still trying to keep working, keep talking to players while they're working out and see how things go.
Okay. And do we have a somewhat small foreign invasion coming in? Is there somebody who might shoot up the boards if they put their name in?
As far as foreign players go?
Yes.
I mean, if Donatas Matagiounas stays in the draft, his agent, I think, has said that if he's not top 10, he might pull out. He played in Italy this year and played pretty well. He's kind of your Euro big, but a little bit tougher. Has a little bit better handle. I don't know how much better he is than a guy like Bargnani, which somebody said was an insult. I don't think that's really an insult. I think Andrea can play. So he could shoot up. There's a couple other guys, Miroslav Rajulica, I believe it's pronounced. I struggle with that name, but Miroslav, he's a good player. He's automatically eligible. He could do big things. And then, Kevin Serafin out of Cholet in France are probably the three. They're all power forwards / centers. Kevin's probably the least well-sized to play the position. He's 6'9", I think. They're all projected. Donatas is in the lottery right now, and then Kevin and Miroslav are anywhere from probably 20 through 35 or 40. I think in the second round you're going to see a lot of draft and stash players, which is becoming the new norm, which hurt. To be honest, I mean, I think that might be what helps the D-League, is the fact that these big-name college guys might not get drafted in the second round anymore, so they have to go to the D-League and work up that way. And if we can just get bigger names in the D-League, I think the quality of the game stays relatively high, and you've got players that the average fan has heard of, which would help, instead of kind of some journeymen that aren't as big. So if the D-League promotes itself right with some big-name college guys that end up there, I think that might be the ticket to make that a little bit better, a little more watch league.
Yeah, that could be a beautiful thing on NBA TV right there. I would love to watch more D-League games if guys were more.
I agree with you. I think we're in the minority, though. I mean, I will watch it just about anything, but I don't know. I feel like the D-League is a minor league that doesn't get as many clubs. You see some guys do really well. But, I mean, it just takes – those success stories definitely keep the league going. But I think if it just turned into a legitimate minor league where – the college players that aren't drafted go there for less money instead of going overseas to build the league. Maybe you get more viewers, get the salaries up in the D-League, and it just gets a little bit better. But it is what it is now, and it's fun. It's fun to watch for guys like us, but probably not for everybody else.
Yeah, bit by bit, it could be something. Another guy I wanted to ask you about, I know this is, you know, not relevant to this year, but I watched the USA versus the World, and the big man who's going to Kentucky, I believe his name is Cantor or something similar to that.
Yeah, that sounds
is he
right.
A big deal over there?
You know what, man? I'm not entirely familiar. Overseas isn't really our strong point.
We try to just focus on the most recent draft and take a look at it from there. I'm not too sure. I remember seeing him in the USA games or the World Championships, I guess it was, and I remember just being impressed just from a look standpoint, but I'm really not sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was doing work down low against the kid Sullinger and a couple of other big guys who are, you know, kind of highly touted this year.
Yeah, Jared Sullinger, I'm trying to think who else was in that. Was Perry Jones playing against him too? I don't know who's going to be a Baylor.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and, I mean, if he's holding his own against those guys, then, I mean, he can obviously play. We've got our eyes on that class a little bit, but not so much on the foreign side yet.
If he's holding his own against those guys, I think Sullinger and Jones are projected both in the top 10, I think both in the top 5 for most people, and they'd be right around there for us. So, yeah, if he's holding his own, there's always four young foreign kids that could make a big impact and come out of nowhere. So, definitely.
Okay. And before we got out here, I definitely had to ask you about the situation with Tiny Gallen. Are we going to have a situation like the NFL in the sense of the whole character issues? clouding some people's idea of what the guy is or who the guy is?
I don't think so. I mean, everybody wants to talk about character a lot more than it probably matters. DeMarcus Cousins, I think, is a great example of that. DeMarcus is – he's volatile, I think, to say the least. Him and
Coach Cal seem to butt heads, and he's adamant in saying that Coach Cal promotes an environment where you're allowed to give feedback on how you think Cal's coaching during the game. And he was not afraid to do that at all. But people say, oh, his character could make him slide, and I just don't see him sliding. He's too gifted physically.
When you get a guy like Tiny Gallen, who's maybe a little more he's not DeMarcus Cousins as far as talent and potential. He's a big body, and, I mean, he can play. I think he has a spot in the league. Maybe the character issue comes up in the team interviews at their workouts, and they say, well, what happened here? Why did this happen? And you have it with Tommy Mason Griffin, who's probably even more of a fringe prospect, who I don't think helped his cause a whole lot by what he said
on Facebook and everything else after he declared. But we actually defended Tommy Mason Griffin from jump because, I mean, he is a kid. I mean, these aren't grown men yet. Like they're going to have lapses. He's going to
post on his Facebook. He doesn't think that every media outlet's going to pick it up. And just because he didn't type in complete sentences with perfect grammar, not too many people on Facebook do. So we weren't jumping down his throat, and ultimately the players have to do what's best for them. I mean, if he doesn't think he wants to be at Oklahoma anymore and he thinks he's ready for the NBA, let him take a chance. And if he's not drafted, he'll play overseas or he'll play in the D League, which probably would have happened no matter how many years he was at Oklahoma. So we're big proponents of the players doing what they think is best for them and their situation. And
as far as the character issue goes, I mean, I think a lot of times we get caught up in the fact that these are 18 to 22-year-old.
They are young men, but they aren't fully matured yet. They aren't ready for all of this. It's been thrust on them by fans and by the media and by teams. So we try not to character, in our opinion, I think, is a little bit overrated as long as the guy hasn't done, crimes. Like, obviously, that would be an issue if it's going to hurt him actually getting on the court. But aside from that, I think it's a little overblown, and I don't know that what Tiny Gallen did was that rare in college basketball. So
this is speaking like you think of radio. You heard the man speak about character. You've heard me bang on this issue so many times. I've been fighting a good fight on that one for a long time, man. The whole idea of character is kind of crazy, especially when you put it in the sense of the last two presidents had character issues in the sense of taking drugs early on in their life. So
that's true.
You want to bang a man for a mistake he makes early in life, you don't know what he might become. So
I
think it's nonsense. But that Derek Cousins, I mean, the DeMarcus Cousins point you made about his attitude.
Sure.
Now, see, that kind of intrigues me because I look at the boy from down here at Georgia Tech, Derek Favors, in the same light, but just in a different way, in the sense of Favors just is not an aggressive, demonstrative guy. He's a quiet, kind of laid-back guy, and that's kind of why I don't trust him as far as this draft. With his skill set and his talent and his ability, you know, we'll see what he becomes in the NBA. But that's my biggest problem with him. So I have no problem with the boy being the way he is as far as Cousins is concerned. As long as you don't take it to Rasheed territory, it's all good as far as
Well, I mean, if Rasheed's been in the league, what? I mean, it's been almost 15 years now, so I guess more than 15 years then.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I think – and I do think it cuts both ways. Like, I don't think Derek Favors – the other one was Al Farouk. People say that he doesn't have that killer instinct, but if people are laid back, they're laid back, like, as people. And
if they're playing hard and it doesn't show on their face, it doesn't mean they aren't playing hard. And I think that's hard. That's difficult for the average fan to see. Again, up in Philly, we've got Donovan McNabb, who would crack smiles after game-losing interceptions, which drove people crazy. But I don't think he was giving it any less than a guy like Peyton Manning or Brady or any of those guys. And by the same token, I don't think Al Farouk or Derek is playing any less hard or any less of a prospect. I just think it's who they are. So.
Yeah.
You definitely take players as they are when they come into the league, and we think just as a quick tangent, but I think Derek Favors is probably the third overall pick in this draft, and I think he'll be good in the league and play next to Brook Lopez for a really long time. So that's kind of where we stand on him.
Yeah, that'll be a good sight to see. This is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. I'm joined today by Jeff, who's the writer and co-founder of TheRookieWall.com, a great basketball website for everybody looking up to this draft coming up. What any words you wanted to get in before we got out of here, man? Any topic you wanted to get on?
No, I mean, I think we covered a lot. I think the draft's going to be better than a lot of people are saying it's deep, that you can get good players in the second round, which I agree with. But, I mean, this really could be a draft where you have five or six superstars come out of the draft. I mean, John Wall and Evan Turner, obviously. We talked about what Derek Favors and DeMarcus Cousins can do.
And then there's always a sleeper or two, Wes Johnson, who
can really play. It'd be interesting to see how he can put the ball on the floor and how he translates. But it's going to be an interesting almost little less than a month now, 20-something days until the draft, and we're covering it pretty much. We're trying to get more and more updates up on TheRookieWall.com and get people to check the site out. So we definitely appreciate you having us on.
Oh, man, thanks for coming on, man. And where can people find you besides the website?
We have TheRookieWall.com. We have a Twitter page, which is TheRookieWall is our Twitter handle. We write a little bit on Bleacher Report.
We are one of their featured draft columnists, and a lot of people have been checking us out there. We appreciate. Yeah, and we're going to have a few new articles coming up in the next couple of days. We have interviews in place out to Wes Johnson and Derek Favors, some other guys. So we're really hoping to make a splash a little bit closer to the draft and hoping everybody can come check out TheRookieWall.com.
Okay, and there it is, man. Appreciate you coming on, man. This is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. We'll be on next week. And within the next couple of weeks, man, whenever you have a chance, man, just let us know, man. We'll definitely.
No, you just give me.
You have our email. Just let me know, man. We'll come back on whenever.
All right, man. You have a good one.
All right. You as well. Thank you.
All right. We out.